Let's begin. The ordinary world that we find ourselves in, 6.5 months into the pandemic, everybody has made their best attempt at adjusting, some better, some worse. But this is the new normal. I mean, I see this every day in the school, in the yeshiva, how kids are just, they're basically used to this way of life now. I mean, the idea of having all the children wear masks, it's the wildest thing to see first graders who all of them just basically keep the mask on. And it's the, it's strange. It's eerie if you step out of it and watch it as like a movie. This has become our normal now. And I want to reach back in time to when a society had lived with this type of normal. Okay, and I want to try to address how to understand what we do with this time right now. It was 1849. We were in the throes of the cholera epidemic. There's a lot of famous anecdotes in that time period in the Jewish community. The Jewish community was hit hard by it. The famous story of Yisrael Salanter, his first year as a shul rav, where he asked everyone to break their fast on Yom Kippur in the middle of the pandemic. But I'm not going to focus on his remarks. A lesser known subject within that cholera epidemic was one of the children of the leading disciples of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Yosef Chaver Wildman. He was a rav in Poland, and he gave a lecture on Rosh Hashanah. He gave a drasha on Rosh Hashanah. And he said the following. He said, every activity in the world is done as a combination, right? A shutfus between man and the guidance of the Ribbono Shel Olam. As it says, Uverachcha Hashem Elokecha b'chol asher ta'aseh. And Hashem, and He will bless all that you will do. That Hashem's blessing does not just, it's not shorah on an empty vessel, but rather it gives us, it needs something from us, some hishtadlus from us. And Rav Wildman called on his people to do more. We have a responsibility. There's a role that we have to play in this. There's a hishtadlus that we have to do. And I have to say, our community has been working on its responsibility, its hishtadlus. And the purpose of my talk tonight is not to discuss whether or not we've done hishtadlus or the level of it, or to even, remark on it very much. But to point out that we're being asked in this to do the best hishtadlus we can, to do the best work that we can in the face of something that we and our generation have never lived with. But the question is, what is our challenge? What are we supposed to do? What is our Avodas Hashem this Rosh Hashanah? Because a lot of the mentality right now is just go on fumes. Just get by. Just get by. A lot of the davening now are shorter to get people out of the shul. We don't want people congregating. And the mistake that we make is that maybe that means just right now this year, we're just surviving. We're just getting by. And I think as a frum person, as a person who seeks to grow in Avodas Hashem, we never leave it at just that. We never just say, just go, just survive. I mean, we do have such an idea. Rav Volbi writes in his Ali Shor, he calls them Yemei Chashchus, days of darkness, where you just have to do the bare minimum to get by. But the question is, now that we have learned to begin to live with this new normal, and we're entering into Yom Kippur, what is our particular nature of our Avodas Hashem? How is our davening supposed to look? I'm talking about our personal davening, the thoughts that we're supposed to have. What does it all mean? And I want to begin that discussion with a few questions. A student asked me in the seventh grade, it's a great kasha. Okay, I taught the seventh grade girls, and someone asked why we started with Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is this beautiful, sweet new year. We start the new year, I get it. And then we go straight to our schmutz on Yom Kippur. It would have made sense that we would have cleared out the baggage, clear out the luggage, deal with all the chatoim, right? All through Elul, do some more slichas, do an extra amount of slichas, hit a good Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah. And then after we hit the Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah, then it makes sense, get to a beautiful Rosh Hashanah, a sweet new year, we wipe the slate clean, we blow the shofar, and done. Yet the order seems to be flipped around. That's question number one. Question number two, the main theme of Rosh Hashanah, if you took a survey on the street, is Malchus. kingship, God's royalty. We coronate God as king, melech over the entire world. Recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the melech, almost similar in a way to the first question, would indicate that what we need to do is once we clean our hands of all the toma and all the averis, we're ready to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the melech. But we've done something interesting. It's like coming to the king while you're dirty in dirty clothes, right? There's such an idea of coming to haaretz. Why there's a mitzvah to go to the mikvah? Mitzvah of chayav adam l'taharis atzmo lifnei regel, to go into the mikvah before the yontif. Yeah, we flipped it around. We show up on Rosh Hashanah filled with our chatoim, as opposed to the opposite. Work on it on Yom Kippur. Get clean. Yom Kippur becomes like the mikveh Yisrael Hashem. And then go into Rosh Hashanah. And question number three is the cadence. Who designed this calendar? Because when we deal with programming for a shul, we deal with programming for a community, you always want to space out the programming over the course of a year. Yet the Jewish calendar is stacked heavy with all the Yom Tov. And someone's pointing out to me that when we duchened in Shul last week by Rosh Hashanah, that was the first time many of us were part of a duchening since, and then we started calculating, when's the last Yom Tov? But a while back, it's such a large gap between the Yom Tovim, yet everything is stuck right here in Tishrei. You have your Rosh Hashanah, you have your Yom Kippur, you have your Shavuos, you have your Shmini Atzeres. Why was it stacked this way? And question number four is what I began the conversation with. And that is, in the middle of a pandemic, what's the message of the Yom Noraim Tafshin Pei Aleph? So let's review our four questions. Number one, why is Rosh Hashanah before? Start the new year fresh, and then we get to our Shmutz on Yom Kippur. Question number two, similar but different, is that we coronate Hashem as king, as the melech on Rosh Hashanah. But we're coming still with our dirty clothes, our baggage, our chatoim. We should have taken care of the sins first, and now we're ready to come to the melech. And number three, the packed cadence of all the Yom Tovim, all stacked on top of each other. And number four, what's the message in the middle of this pandemic during this Yom Noraim? I won't say what's the message, but a possible message. So let's begin. For many, there's the possibility of a tremendous yeush. And that is a giving up of accomplishing anything right now. There's a mentality, let's survive, let's get through this, we'll figure everything out in a year and a half. If you look back on Jewish history and you track some of the moments of greatest productivity in Jewish history was right in the middle of a rupture, was right in the middle of the most difficult situations, some of the greatest challenges. I heard a beautiful idea, right? Yatzah Berachush Gadol. I think Rav Soloveitchik says this. Yatzah Berachush Gadol, right? That Avram's told by the Bris Ben Avisarim that after Mitzrayim, they're going to come out with a Rechush Gadol, with beautiful treasure. That's the payoff? We're going to suffer all these years in slavery because we get to come out with some shmatas and silver and gold? That's the payoff? Says Rav Soloveitchik, that's not the Rechush Gadol. The Rechush Gadol is that we took a message from the middle of the Avdus. We took a message from the Kor HaBarzel that we brought with us into the rest of our destiny, into the rest of the legacy of our people. We took something from the fire. And that's true with us at all times if possible. We want to take something from the wreckage, take something with us from what's happening now. So let's look at Rosh Hashanah. Let's see what we encounter in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the main theme is Malchus, kingship. What does this mean when you tell somebody, on Rosh Hashanah, we coronate God as king? So I want to explore a pasuk with you in Akiv. Pasuk says, Va'ata Yisrael Mahashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach. What does God ask of you? Ki'im li'yira as Hashem Elokecha, only to fear him. That's it, just that. And then it goes, L'eches b'chol drachav, to follow in his ways, L'avoso, to love him, to serve him, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. Then it says, L'shmoras mitzvos Hashem, to keep all the mitzvos Hashem, and the chukosav, which I command on this day. Really the whole gamut. Really Hashem is, what do I ask of you now? What's ata now? What does it mean now? What does Hashem ask of you? Why do you tell me va'ata, and now? What does it mean now? What does the and now mean? So if you look at the context in Parshas Ekev, which we read a few weeks ago, the context is the Eschanan had a repeat of Matan Torah. But the continuation and aftermath and tragedy of Chet Egel really goes into Akif. And you go to the beginning of the parak and it says, Be'ez ha'hi amar Hashem elai, psalucha shnei luchos. After Moshe smashed the luchos, psalucha shnei luchos avanim perishonim, just like the first ones. Va'alei elai ha'hara, and come up to me on the mountain. Ba'asita lecha aranates, and we're going to make an ark of wood. Ve'echtov ala luchos, and I will write on the luchos as advarim asher hayu ala luchos harishonim, like those things which were there on the first luchos, asher shibarta, which you broke. Aaron. Ba'es Aaron atzei shitim, and I'll make the Aaron atzei shitim, I'll make the luchos avanim just like the first ones. No different. Almost literally and figuratively, these luchos. So that's the vort now in Va'ata. This is the pshat I want to say, and what it means Va'ata and now. Every time we get to Yom Kippur, every time we get to this season, every time we get to these holidays, we ask, how is this year going to be any different? How's it going to be any different? It's always the same. I end up in the same place every single year. You can have an amazing davening, you can have an uplifting Yom Kippur, uplifting Sukkot, and you always end up in the same place. And that's a Maisa Satan. The Satan turns to you and says, you are what you are. God designed you this way. Give up and accept this is who you are. Just, you got to show up in Shul. You got to show up Rosh Hashanah. You got to show up Yom Kippur. This is who you are. The answer, the proof, is Maimid Har Sinai. Hashem's response to our biggest failure after it was over, in the aftermath of the Chayta Egel, Hashem said, I'm going to make again the same luchos. I didn't change the nusach. I didn't modify the words. I didn't make it. I didn't reduce it. I gave you the same thing. So now we understand this va'ata. The pasuk reads beautifully. Va'ata, and now, right? And now, ma Hashem elokecha sholimach, what do I ask of you? Now that you did all this, now that you messed up with the chayta ego, you blew it. What do I ask of you? The same thing as before. The same exact thing as before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking you. It's unbelievable. You would think after we messed up, we'd get the modified version, right? Someone messes up on a test. The teacher can't give them the same test. They're going to fail again. You got to give them the modified version. Give them the modified version. The answer is, I still believe we could start over and you can do this. Ma Hashem shol mifat, starting all over, right? Rambam says one of the ideas of a inyonim, of a Baal Tshuva, is that he's Mishanish Shmo. He can change his name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to wipe it all away. Because you're a chelik elokom imam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his malchus by saying, I can clear it all up. Now we understand why we start with Rosh Hashanah. Why do we start with Rosh Hashanah? We're starting with Rosh Hashanah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, in order for you to understand that you're not trapped by your averus, that you can look them in the eye, clean them up and start again, you need to first accept malchus. When you accept the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you can recognize that I can take care of whatever you did last year. I can take care of whatever mistake you made. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is saying, I can handle what you're going through. I got it, right? I can handle it. I can take care of it. You can go through it each and every year. You can keep repeating it. Hashem says, come back to me again. Make me a melech. Now that you understand that I'm a melech, we can look at your averus and understand that it's not going to be a roadblock. It's not going to be an impediment. I can wipe the slate clean. It just needs you to show up and accept Hashem as the Melech. That's why the emphasis on Rosh Hashanah is us doing just some simple Maisa Pashut, some simple activity, some simple behavior. I quoted in Shul from Rav Avigdor Miller in the Sefer Or Olam. Beautiful quote from Rav Avigdor Miller. He has a pshat on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Al tihi vaz l'chol adam, don't denigrate anybody, but al tihi maflig l'chol davar, don't be overly wondrous to all things. What does that mean? Says Rav Avigdor Miller, sometime when something's happened, a person gets all, you know, like it blows their mind. Unbelievable, right? They get, whenever they see somebody amazing, says Rav Avigdor Miller, no, it's the little things. Ki mehapratim haktanim nivna ha'olam. From the small details, HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds the entire world. From the small details, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to build the whole world. That's the malchus of Hashem. When you come to Rosh Hashanah, you need to get to a melech first. You need to get to the king, because only the king is going to show you that those little things that make up your life, and those little averus, those little mess ups, and those little trip ups, all of them are not a big deal. I can help you get through them. Once you accept the malchus of Hashem into your life, then you can cross right through them. You can look them in the eye and you can deal with them. I got you. That's why the Lubavitcher Rebbe says we coronate Hashem on Rosh Hashanah with the mice, a blow from the most simple, just from our neshama, from a piece of an animal. We take the horn of an animal, we blow a mice from the shofar, and we blow, and that's how we reach Hashem. That's how we coronate the Melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you show up and you realize that I'm the Melech, I'll take care of anything. I take care of whatever is standing in your way. So that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is, I got you, now you're ready to face Yom Kippur. You understand that I'm the Melech with Malchus, you're able to face anything. So now let's understand what Yom Kippur is. Let's look a little bit what's Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is Hashem saying, I'm the Melech, I got you. I saw something incredible, a Tikkuni Zohar that was unreal. The words of the Tikkuni Zohar are like this. What is Yom Kippur? Atanira b'ma nichnasim b'yom HaKodesh hazeh. Now let's look at what a person does when they enter into this holy day. Says the Tikkuni Zohar, right? That vayiftach Noach echalon, Noach opened the window of the Teva asher osa. Says the Tikkuni Zohar, Tevas Noach da Yom HaKippurim. The Ark of Noah is Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur is the Teva. That's what it is. Yom Kippur is the Teva. It's the Ark. It's our refuge. It's our place. It's our place where we go for survival. You see, when you recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. When you recognize that, then you're able to enter into Yom Kippur because you're entering into a Teva. It's not threatening. The Averis are not threatening to you. They're not going to overwhelm you. They're not going to destroy you. They won't have the ability to. Why? Because on Yom Kippur, you're entering, you're sheltered, you're in the Teva. You're in the Teva. But this is where it gets unique. And this is Yom Kippur. While Malchus belonged to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus of Yom Kippur is a little different. I have a Sefer called Sod Yesharim. New Sefer. I don't even know who the author is. And the author of the Sod Yesharim started playing around with the fact that if you notice, there's so much about Kohanim on Yom Kippur. I'm a non-Kohen. Most of us, I assume, in this room are non-Kohanim. Why do most of us have to read about the process and the avoda of the people Kohanim? And you look at the Kohanim, what the Kohanim wore, right? The Kohanim had the crown on the head of the Kohen. There was a reality to the Kohen. And you need to read about it. You need to. Why is that? So argues in the Sefer Sod Yesharim. He says, Zos Romez al Midas HaMalchus. Because it reflects a Midah of Malchus. When a Kohen walks in with his begadim, when the Big Day Kahuna are upon him with the Kavod, even if he removes the Big Day Zahav and he comes in the beautiful, resplendent white, I'm sure. Song, a beautiful about the whole avoda, and the trumpets and the sound, you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're a melech too. On Yom Kippur is the realization that you have an aspect of Malchus. You see, on Rosh Hashanah, you accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech. And when you accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can handle anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of anything. When you have that, you're protected. You enter of Noah. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You can handle it. Va'ata ma Hashem al kacha shomim. What does God ask of you? Va'ata. You could show up each time after the luchas get smashed. Show up again. It's not a problem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching you one more thing on Yom Kippur. That since you have a portion of Hashem in you, achelik elokom imal, it means that you are a melech, or at least a ben melech. You're a prince of kings. You're princes of kings. You have that aspect of royalty. You have that aspect of Malchus. And even though you're human, even though you're flesh and blood, I want you to know you have this power about you. You have this tremendous koach about you, this tremendous power, the average person. I saw a fascinating article. Shigeru Miyamoto. Shigeru Miyamoto is the famous designer. Elif Avdolos. He's the famous designer of the Super Mario Brothers franchise for Nintendo. And they asked him in an interview why he chose an Italian plumber as his hero, right? That's the guy who became the face of the game, the massive franchise. And he answered, he wanted people to realize that to be great, you don't need to be born a superhero. It could be the average person next door that you may pass in the street. Everybody is capable of being a melech. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us on Yom Kippur. That's the Sod Yesharim. That's why we talk about the Kohanim. We picture these lofty things, these amazing thoughts on Yom Kippur, like malachim, angels, that you could be malachim like kings. You could be kings. You know, Yanai, King Yanai was one of the Chashmonaim kings. And the Gemara tells us how he was especially a terrible person. He was an ish late, levra, Ugliel, wasn't a good guy. And Elazar ben Porah convinced Yanai that the Prushim, the firm crowd, they weren't fond of him. And that led to Yanai killing many Chachamim. Now, what was the action that Yanai did that Elazar could show him, look, the Orthodox Jews don't like that? So he said, you wear the royal crown the same time as the tzitz. Tzitz is the head plate of the Kohen Gadol. Wear it at the same time. It's a lot of discussion. What was the issue of wearing it at the same time? The Marsha says because that left no room for the tefillin. That's one possible answer. But another possible answer is, I don't like it because the king's crown is a crown and the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, that is a crown as well. And you can't wear both crowns. But you see the same yesod, that the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol functions as like a crown. Keter Kahuna, the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says. There's something called Keter Kahuna, and it's an incredible madrega that in Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out to us and saying, you are kings as well. You have the din of a melech. You have the din of a melech. You are malchus. You are king. You are Keter Kahuna. It's a sefer Shari Osher, which goes through many of the sugyas of the Yom Narayim. And the sefer Shari Osher talks about the idea that the Gemara tells us that on when we do slichas, right? We're waking up very early to say slichas. Svardim have been doing it a whole month. The Gemara says that hitate fakadosh baruch hu kashliach tzibor, that God adorned himself like a shliach tzibor. The Mefarshim say it's an angel of God showed Moshe Rabbeinu. He put a talis on himself and said, do like this and you'll get forgiveness. Why do like this? Put the talis over the head and you'll get forgiveness. And there are many who are makbid when they say the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim to cover their heads, to put the talis over the head. So the Shari Osher wanted to argue. He said, some say, this is the famous answer I have, is that you want to nullify yourself to Hashem. Bittul, you cover yourself, your bottle to Hashem. Says the Shari Osher, a different shot. He says, the talis when you're davening, that's your crown. That's your crown. You put it on. And then comes Mechila. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you learn to lift yourself up, that's how you're going to find Mechila. When you learn to make yourself a king, when you recognize by watching me what it means to have Malchus, that's why Rosh Hashanah came before Yom Kippur. You realize what it means to have the Bechina. See, if you think low of yourself and you think that you're junk and that you're nothing, then there's no way to recover yourself. There's no way to pick yourself up when times are hard. There's no way when the going gets tough for you ever to move forward because you're garbage, you're nothing. But if you see that the average person has an aspect of malchus to them and they could lift themselves up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you see that I'm a melech, zekeli vanveyu, and I'll be like Hashem, then you're like a melech too. And that's Yom Kippur. You know, there's something called vidoy meisers. When you bring your tithes, you finish your tithes, you're supposed to do a confession on the Meiser. And the Mishnah Bikurim tells us the Vidoy Meiser. Meiser tells us the confession. What was the confession? The confession is that I did nothing wrong, Hashem. I did exactly as you asked for me. I got rid of all the stuff that needed to be tithed from my house. So look what it's called. It's called Vidoy Meiser, a confessional. Now, usually we associate Vidoy, a confessional, with confessing our sins, confessing our averus. But by the vidui of the Meiser, there's no Avera that's mentioned. There's no expression of Avera that's mentioned. So why is it called vidui? Why is it called vidui? Which is such a vidui, such a formative part of our Yom Kippur davening. Why did Chazal choose this declaration, vidui, right? The translation of vidui is presumably confession. So I saw from Rav Reisman, Rav Yisrael Reisman from New York. See, this beautiful pshat. This is amazing. He said that part of the tshuva process is regretting what you did in the past. Yes, coming to terms with what you did wrong in the past. That's one half of it. But the other half of vidoy, of confessing, is kabbalah ala atid, is accepting what you're going to do in the future without getting stuck in the past, accepting what you're going to do going forward. You see, to look back on the past and beat yourself up for it, that's what we call in Musar, shiflus ha'adam. you at your lowest. But in order to make an acceptance to do better in the past, you can't see yourself as garbage. You can't see yourself as nothing. You're going to need the opposite. You're going to need Godlus HaAdam, man at his apex. You're going to need the greatness of yourself to come out. You understand? If you see yourself as worthless, if you see yourself as small, if you see yourself as insignificant, not a king, the opposite, in Evyon, then yeah, it's easy regretting what you did in the past, but you can't do anything with it. You're ill-equipped, you're inept, you can't get anything done, you're a Nebuch, you're a Shlamazel. But if you have Godless Adam, after you looked at your past and you recognized Hashem is king, he could take care of anything. And Hashem says, deep inside the Yom Kippur davening, you'll find that you are also a king. When a person could do that, they can make a Kabbalah ala Asid. They can make a Kabbalah on the future. They can look and say, I could do something different with my future. That takes Godless Adam. That's the entirely opposite. The entire opposite. So now we understand. Let's review. Rosh Hashanah, we come to accept Hashem's Malchus. Hashem is the king. And if you accept Hashem as the king, there's nothing that you have done that you can't come back from. Hashem is Kol Yachol. He can Melech Poretz Geder. A Melech can break open the way. He can make the way clear for you. And that's why in Yom Kippur, the Tikkuni Zohar says, Da Tevas Noach. You enter into the Teva Noach. You're surrounded. You're sheltered by Hashem. But then Hashem wants you to confront your own past. He wants you to confront your own failings. And don't worry, you'll be able to handle it. I'm a Melech. You can handle it. But even deeper, you know why you can handle it? Because you're also a Melech. That's why you're busy with talking about the Kohanim and these amazing lofty things. That's why you start in a very high place. You know, we start with Kol Nidre, right? Why Kol Nidre? Wow, did I see an answer to this just last week. I have a sefer called Nesivas HaKodesh. A new Hasidish sefer, Nesivas HaKodesh. In the Nesivas HaKodesh, he quotes also a Tikkuni Zohar, where it says, Kam Rabbi Shimon. The Zohar says that Rabbi Shimon got up and he wanted to bring the Geula. Let me see if I brought this here with me. Oh, it's a great passage. He wanted to bring the Geula. I got it here. And what was standing in Rabbi Shimon's way is all new answer to why we do, everyone, what do we do, Kol Nidre, right? Everyone comes to Shul Kol Nidre night. It's almost as popular as coming to the Pesach Seder. No matter how religious you are, Kol Nidre night, everybody comes to Shul, right? I mean, COVID, all bets are off. But pre-COVID, everybody comes. And they're waiting to hear the holiest, most spiritual experience in the world. And they get there and it's Kol Nidre, this thing about your oaths. You ever wonder why? So in the past, I always thought it's Allah Lahavdil Miguel Ruiz Four Agreements, where he says, be impeccable with your word, right? You got to show Hashem first that I got to make good on my word before I can make agreements about what I'm going to do. But I have a twist this year. Sefer Nesivas HaKodesh quotes the Tikkuni Zohar that says, Kam Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon got up. Shenoa Glomer Lefanei Kol Nidre. Why would you say Kol Nidre? Right? He asked in the Sefer. He says, the Tikkuni Zohar says that Rav Shimon ben Yochai davened to Hashem to bring the Geula. Ba'afi ma'ya neder v'shvu achas v'chalila hepech, mikol makom yehe bitol l'neder elyon. If there, however, was some neder or shvua that now is not the time of the Geula, the Tikkuni Zohar says, Rav Shimon davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should break your neder. Unbelievable. What does that pshat mean? That in order to bring the Geula, Rabbi Shimon had to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you made a neder that you're not going to bring the Geula now, I want you to break it. I want you to break it. I want you to break that neder. So we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yom Kippur and we say Kol Nidre. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're here before you. We want you to be able to break what we said we couldn't do. We want us you to help us take our Geula as well. Because the Geula demands that you have no nedarim in your way. And that's what it means to be a melech. A melech poretz geder. A king breaks down the fence. A king breaks down the breaches. Right? He's able to just break it open, burst it open. And that's an unbelievable thing. So Rosh Hashanah, you accept that Hashem is king. On Yom Kippur, he teaches you that you're a king. You're a king. You could break any wall that's standing in your face. Now we come to Sukkos. What is Sukkos? So you're cast out after Yom Kippur. The Aron HaKodesh closes at Ne'ilah. You're bereft, you had an incredible davening, you're fasting, and you're cast out of this intensely holy experience. And after that intimate world of Kol Nidre, Ne'ila, angels, Kohanim, what an experience. You accepted Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus of Hashem. You accepted on Yom Kippur that you're a Melech. Now you stand by yourself. Doors close on Yom Kippur. Rav Palm had a beautiful pshat. The Rav Palm says, the Gemara tells us, Al yafsip si agasim in beis haknesses. Right? You know how to take big steps running out of shul. Rav Palm used to say that at the end of Yom Kippur, that a person shouldn't take giant steps running out of shul. Everybody runs out. Right? Remember, it runs out to quickly break the fast. Right? They quickly to go get the kakosh or whatever it is. You shouldn't be running out of Yom Kippur shul. Don't run out. But anyways, you accepted Hashem's the Melech. You're a Melech. You come out of Yom Kippur after that huge high and you're standing there by yourself. You're literally standing by yourself. It's like you were trained to in this circumstance and you walk out. And as the way the Medrash has it, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, all the Achron, you pick up your lulav and your esrog and you hold it like weapons of war, your clay milchama, your weapons of war in your hand. You're a melech now. You're a king now. So then what does Sukkot do? Why is Sukkot there? I could have waited, stalled. Give me a holiday later in the season. What's Sukkot doing there? So once again, you have that theme like Yom Kippur, right? I told you, after you accepted Hashem as Melech Rosh Hashanah, you go into Yom Kippur, which is a teva of Noach, right? That was the Tikkun Zohar. Hashem says, I got you. I don't want you to think after you leave Yom Kippur, Hashem is saying that all of a sudden you're on your own now. You're done with me. Into the Sukkah, I got you. V'sukkah tiel itzel yomam. I'm still your Melech. I'm still watching you. And I want you never to forget that. But there's something new about Sukkah. It's a whole different twist. You look up at the schach, and the Gemara in Sukkah 27b says, "Kol Yisrael ruuyin leishav besukkah achas." All of Yisrael's roi to sit in one sukkah. What's the theme of sukkahs? Achdus klal Yisrael. What's the message? The message in Rosh Hashanah was that Hashem is king. The message in Yom Kippur is that you are king. The message on sukkahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Klal Yisrael is my king. Klal Yisrael are my princes. They're my bnei malachim. They represent my kingship in this world." And as long as you recognize that we don't stand alone as kings after Yom Kippur, we stand together with everybody else. There's nothing that gets in our way. The unity of Sukkot, the deep idea I saw from the Belzer Rebbe. He says, "Why we bring in this the ushpizin into the sukkah, the seven shepherds? Why do you bring them? Because it's seven different mindsets." Totally different ways of looking at the world. Avram, Yitzchak, Yosef, David, they're so different, all of them. You bring them into one sukkah. You unite all the forces. What a malchus that is. What a malchus, what a power base that malchus is. It's not just you standing alone as a melech. Sukkot is the recognition that you're part of a conglomerate. You're part of a group that has such royalty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at and says, I expect such big things of you. We say, Vayihi Bishurin Melech, right? In Yeshurin, that's on Rosh Hashanah. But when does that coronation really take effect? Yachad Shifte Yisrael. When everyone is sitting together. When it's Yachad Shifte Yisrael, that's when the coronation actually and truly takes effect. On Sukkot, when we're sitting together. I was developing this idea that Sukkot is Malchus one more time. But with a twist, it's the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. And I was exploring this idea, and I came across from Rav Chaim Vital, the student of the Arizal. Says Rav Chaim Vital, in the pre-Eitz Chaim, Shar Mikre Kodesh, Perik Dal. Listen to this. Yom Aleph Tesukis, Nekeva Tesovav Gever, Perish Rav Chaim Vital says, Malchus Mevakeshes Zivug. It's Malchus looking for its partner. Hashem's Malchus is looking for the queen. And that's Am Yisrael. The Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for the bride. It's looking for its princess. It's looking for the queen. That's the Malchus of Klal Yisrael on Sukkot. It's an unbelievable thing. It's an unbelievable. How powerful your Malchus is, because it's a Malchus that's shared by all of Klal Yisrael. Godless Klal Yisrael. You know, we know on Sukkot it's V'samachta Bechagecha. Samachta Bechagecha. According to the great Rosh Yeshiva Magid Shir of Shmuel Rozovsky, he says the whole idea of Visamachta is based on one premise, that there is Achdus, the unity of Sukkot. Kol Ezra Yisrael, that we all come to sit together, that we all sit together. I saw Rav Yankel Galinsky, the great Magid Shir from Bnei Brak, they have a svarim now printed in English. Rav Yankel Galinsky says, you notice if you take the smallest shir in the sukkah, right? Zion al Zion. Small. It's a pop-up sukkah. You take the smallest shear in sukkah, Zion al Zion Tvachim, yet there's room for every one of the ushpizin. In our giant houses, no matter what, we always run out of room. But in a sukkah, there's room for everybody. Because on Sukkot, it's all about Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. The Malchus of Klal Yisrael never runs out of space. There's never enough. There's always more. There's always more to share. And that Kedusha is so powerful. That Kedusha of the Klal, of the Tzibor, what it can achieve. It's Malchus. If you didn't listen to a word I said until now, this right here, this is worth it. This is incredible. Let me tell you this, Cha. We have a concept of a minion by a Davar Shebe Kedusha. What does that mean? That whenever you get to Kedusha or Kaddish, you need a minion. We're saying Kaddish, you have a minion. You have a minion. Everybody gets it backwards. It's all backwards. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, right? Listen to the quote of the Aruch HaShulchan. Rabbi Chil Michal Epstein. Aruch HaShulchan says, we have a klal. Kishahayu asara, that when you had 10 men and some left in the middle, right? Miksam be'emtza, the gormim inyan ze ima kaddish asharach v'zodir. You could finish what you're doing and do the kaddish. You no longer have the 10. I thought, davar shebik dusha, we need 10. We need a minion by a davar shebik dusha. So what's the pshat in the Aruch HaShulchan? What's he saying? Says the Rambam in Seder HaTfilah, in his introduction, the wording of the Kaddish. He says, any 10 or more Jewish people who delve in studying Torah Shabbat Peh, even Medrash, Agadita, when they finish, one of them says Kaddish. And what is that called? That's called Kaddish Derabonim. Specifically, when 10 people learn together, they make a Kaddish. Okay? What's the pshat in Kaddish? What's the pshat in Kaddish? I always thought the pshat in Kaddish is that when you say a davar shebikdusha, you need 10. No. Minyan for a davar shebikdusha means that when 10 people are learning Torah together, the kedusha of coming together as a minyan, the kedusha of coming together as a community, as a tzibor, united in avodas Hashem, that justifies the Kaddish. That justifies the kedusha or the baruch Hu. It's not that you need a minyan for the Kaddish. You only say Kaddish to celebrate the holiness of the minyan. It's the opposite. It's exactly that. The Kaddish is celebrating the fact that you had a minyan of people doing something amazing just now. They learn together. They daven together. The Kaddish is celebrating that. It's not that because I have a Kaddish quick, I need the minyan. It's the opposite. The Kaddish is there because you had the minyan. Because you had the minyan of people celebrating and learning together. That's the power of the klal. That's the malchus of the tzibor, that it creates a new din. It breaks the rules. It's unbelievable. The power of a davar shebikdusha, the power of a tzibor, the power of a klal coming together. So Rosh Hashanah is when you accept the malchus of Hashem. And when you recognize that, you can get through anything. You enter into the teva of Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to teach you. But I want you to know, you also are a melech. You are malachim. You're bnei malachim. You can conquer this. And don't worry, I smashed those luchos the first time. I'll write it again. I'll write the same thing again, because I know that you're capable of doing it. You're capable of achieving unbelievable things. Just look at the Kohanim. Look what humans are capable of. You could become angels on Yom Kippur. That's how powerful you are. You could transcend your limitations. And you come to Sukkot after you're left alone in Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chas v'shalom. You enter into your sukkah, into the shelter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haporis aleinu es sukkah shlomecha. You spread over us that canopy of peace. And one begins to recognize that their greatest strength is that they're not a melech by themselves. A melech below am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his people, and you have your people. You have your tzibor. You have your tzibor. I want to bring this closer to the end here. I've been reading a great story, Rabbi Nachman, the water caster, just translated, but the story, Rabbi Nachman's stories are not stam. Rabbi Nachman realized that he's not going to have much time. He died very young. What he did in his 39, what he did in his few years is unbelievable, very prolific. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov recognized that he's not going to have time to be able to teach all his Kabbalah. So he buried it into his stories. And he has some amazing stories. And there's nothing better than when you're in a Rabbi Nachman story, and then within the story, there's another story. So when you're in a story within a story, you're like 40 layers deep. You're so far in. So he has this story called the water castle that's in the middle of another story. And in the water castle, it talks about a individual, a very simple individual, supposed to be like the tzaddik, I guess, who comes forward and at the wedding of the kala, they're talking about who has a greater ability, who has a greater power. And the tzaddik says, I can do things that you all cannot. And one says, what do you mean? Right? What do you mean? We have, one says, I have the ability with tremendous, I can stop an arrow. An arrow flies, I can stop the arrow. And the tzaddik or the individual there at the party says, yeah, but you can only stop one kind of arrow. I could stop and even bring back all the arrows that are already fired. Then one says, I have the power of giving. I have the power of giving. And he says, yeah, but you don't have all the 10 different powers of giving of charity out there in the world. That's something that I can do. And then one says, I have the power of the wind. I can control the way the wind is going. And the tzaddik says, yeah, but you can only control one type of wind. I control many of them. I control many of them. And the last one, he says, and one says, I have great wisdom. I can heal. And he says in the story, he says, yeah, but I can do all kinds of healings. Forget the multi-layered Kabbalistic meaning of the story. I love the image of these four powers. The power to stop an arrow. The power to be incredible with the charity. The power to control the winds. And the power to control wisdom. What are those? What is the arrow? Unkelos and many commentaries point out that davening is like an arrow. It shoots out of the mouth. Like Lashon Hara, right? It goes out and it goes out into the universe and can achieve amazing things. Very powerful. Arrow represents tefillah. The power of what tefillah can do. What's tzedakah, right? Tzedakah is ben adam lechavero. That was ben adam lemakom your tefillah. Tzedakah is ben adam lechavero. The charity, what you give to others, how you learn to give in all different ways. Some people give with their money, some people give with their time, some people give with a phone call. People give in all different ways. What's the wind? The Gemara in Sota says, "Ein adam chote ela inke nichnas bo ruach shtus." A person only sins because a wind of stupidity enters into them. Rav Ephraim Waxman has a great mashal to help understand that. What does it mean because the wind is stupidity? He says, because let me ask you this. If the Chafetz Chaim was your roommate, would you ever wake up late for davening? If the Chafetz Chaim was your roommate, would you ever wake up late to davening? You wouldn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. How do we ever do anything wrong? Because ain't Adam over Avera, Elaim ke nichnas bo ruach shtus. Right? Some stupidity enters your mind. That's the winds. And what's the wisdom? Is Torah. Chachmas HaTorah. As a melech, the real melech in the story, the water castle, has the ability to control the arrows, control tefillah. We stood before Hashem with our tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah. We say, tshuva tefillah tzedakah, the tzedakah of ben adam lechavero, of taking care of other people, to be able to control the wind, the elements of going out to the sukkah, leaving our home, and allowing ourselves subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the being able to control the ruchos, the wind, the spirits. And then when you come to the Chachma, brings you to the end when you come to the Torah, which is Simchas HaTorah. That's the greatest crown of them all. That's the greatest royalty of them all. That's the greatest monarchy. We learned on Rosh Hashanah that Hashem is king. On Yom Kippur, you're king. On Sukkot, Klal Yisrael is king. And on Simchas Torah, the Torah is the king. The Torah, we dance with the Torah. We revere the Torah. We celebrate in Shmini Atzeres as we come to the end of the holiday. We've learned everything the entire time. We realize what a gift Hashem has given us to control the forces of the universe, to be able to stem the tide of our pain and our suffering, and to be able to turn back and say we have something to weather us through this very difficult time. We have the crown. We have the Keter of Torah in order to be able to do it. All of this comes together beautifully. With chesed, what you can accomplish, we're kings. With chesed, we're kings. I had the chance to interview, the schus to be able to interview Eli Beer, the head of Hatzalah. And I asked Eli Beer after he almost died with COVID. I asked Eli Beer what influenced him to, really give his life for Hatzalah. Because as he said, as he was dying with COVID, his one thought was, what's going to happen to Hatzalah? He said, it wasn't my family. It was, what's going to happen with Hatzalah? So my family will be fine. Hatzalah, I worry about. So I asked him, what is it that you gave your life over to Hatzalah in this way? And he said it was his bar mitzvah, and he did it in a hall in Israel. And in Israel, you could have one place where there's 7 different halls, 8 different halls, where everyone could be having a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. And one of the guest speakers of one of the halls walked into his bar mitzvah hall by accident. It was the great Svardik Rav, Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul. And they asked Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul to say a few words. You already walked into the wrong room. You might as well, as Bashir, get up, please say a few words. So Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul said, unbelievable. They said, how come when they get up to heaven, they ask you, Koveya Itim LaTorah? Did you set up time for Torah? But they're not going to ask you, did you Koveya Itim for Chesed? It's a good question. How come they're not going to ask you that? Says Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, because when it comes to Chesed, there is no Koveya Itim. You can't just set times for it. It has to be part of who you are as a person, part of your life as a person. That's what it means to be a Ben Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our kingship, our royalty means that you could change a person's life. Going back to the beginning, Rav Avigdor Miller, one little thing could build the whole world. One little thing could change a person's life. You have to believe you can do it, right? Don't forget the neighbor, Mario. Don't forget, one little nobody could change the world. You literally see in Shaul's message, you can't just be kovei itim for chesed. It's got to be part of your life. And whenever it comes, it comes. I want to close with this incredible story. Rav Meir of Premishlan, a big gvir in Shul, just spent a lot of money to buy Mafter Yonah. Close the story and I'll tell you a story in a vort, then I'm done, because the vort ties into the story. Beautiful. I have to share this. Rav Meir of Premishlan once asked this gvir, who just spent a fortune on Mafter Yonah, he said, do you know why you did that? Like, what was the cheshivas of this haftarah that you did this? He answered, and this is what I would have answered. I think anybody would answer. He says, the maila of tshuva, right? It can mevatel gzeiras raos. We know that the people of Nineveh were supposed to be destroyed, and God said, no, help them do tshuva. It can overturn the evil decree. Rav Meir of Premishlan turned back and said, no. The reason why Mafter Yonah goes for so much is when Yonah is running away from his destiny, and he's on the boat, right? Before he gets chucked overseas and he's in the whale, he's on the boat. The boat captain comes over to him as he's trying to get some sleep, Yonah. He's trying to hide from everything. He's trying to put himself to sleep so he doesn't have to worry about the people of Nineveh. He doesn't want to think. It's a pandemic. Everybody just wants to sleep till it's over. The captain of the ship turns to him. How could you sleep now? Kum kra el elokecha ulai yitashes haelokim lanu velo navo. How could you sleep at this moment? How could you let this opportunity pass right now? The tempest is all around us. The waters are raging round. This is the moment now to finally have a davening, not the opposite. This is the moment to actually have a tefillah in your life. How could you sleep now? How could you just sleep through this? This is not the time to sleep. That's what it means to be a melech. To be a melech means to recognize that the world needs our tefillos. The world needs our avoda. This is not a time to just let this pass through and let this just wash over us. This is a time for our avodas Hashem. This is our time for doing chesed for others. This is a time to be more active than any other time in our history of our lives. This is a time to do something because we are malachim, bnei malachim. We have an aspect of malchus and we're not alone. We have the malchus of the greatest army in the world, the malchus of Klal Yisrael. And with this, I really finish. We have this mitzvah of tzipisa l'mashiach, right? Kovei itim l'torah, you can't be kovei itim l'chesed. Rabban Tzion Abba Shol. But we have a concept of tzipisa l'yeshua. You're also asked when you got up there, did you long for the Mashiach? And Rav Moshe Shapira writes, what a bal machshava. Rav Moshe Shapira writes, he goes, it's worded strange in the Ani Mamin. Right? It says, Ani Mamin b'vias ha-Mashiach, afal pi sheyis b'meya, b'chol yom achakalo. Even though he might tarry, I still wait for him. Says Rav Moshe Shapira, I don't do that by the other Ani Mamin. Even though it could be I don't have free will, I believe in free will. Even though it could be that Moshe is not the author of the Torah with Hashem, he is. This is the only one that I acknowledge that it may not. What's with this? What does that mean? So says Rav Moshe Shapira, when it yesh kavana dafka lagabe bias hamashiach, dafka by the bias hamashiach, buried, embedded in the possibility of Mashiach, the ability for it not to happen right now. Kolomar, anachnu tzrichim lichyot et hachayim shalanu, hachayim shal olam hazeh, heima avoda, meaning we have to live right now. Hashem wants us to be alive right now, and you can't just wait for everything to pass. Even though the Mashiach will take his time, I still have to do what I have to do right now. That's the vort. The reason why he says it, even though he may take his time, I have to be involved in the coming of the Mashiach. I have to do something right now. That's a beautiful vort. That's what it means to be Bechinas Malchus. I don't know when the Mashiach is going to come. I hope the Mashiach comes right now. May tarry, I will not wait for him. I will not just push it off. I will do everything I can for the Bias HaMashiach. I will help other people. I will do more mitzvahs. I will learn more Torah. I will be a melech poritz geder. I will break down the walls that are in front of me in order to help other people, in order to do greater mitzvahs, to do greater maisa tovim. That's the Bechina Malchus. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu stacked these holidays all on top of each other. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. That's why you need the Yom Kippur after the Rosh Hashanah. You can only believe in yourself if you first have the Malchus of Hashem. Once you have the Malchus of Hashem, then you have the Malchus of yourself. You have the Malchus of yourself, you can then believe you're worthy of the greatest people on earth. You have the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, and you're ready to be poured together. And that's exactly the, I think, part of the Avodah during this time period. You can go to sleep. You can sleep it through and wait till the end. Wait till this is all over. Wake me up when the war is over. But kum, eich nirdam, says the captain of the ship. How could you sleep now? Now is the time, dafka, you can call out. Now is the time, dafka, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mavakish are tfilas. And whether you have to stay home in davening or whether you're in shul a shorter amount of time, it does not undermine one iota the avoda that you have to do internally in order to daven to Hashem and make your Shmona Esrei more remarkable than ever. The trappings of what makes davening great, all of those fade away. The big 7-hour cantorial music, it's all gone. All the trappings are all gone right now. It's just you as a davener, as an arrow thrower before Hashem, as a melech before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we merit to see the Bias HaMashiach in our time, and even though he may tarry, we all have work to do to bring the Mashiach every single day. Take care and have a Gemar Chesima Tova. Shkoyach.